Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall commence our morning prayer session. Shall we sing hymn 410? Please be seated. In Q&A box, you ask some question concerning prayer. So this morning, I would like to use the time to answer some of the question of prayer before we pray. So, first question about prayer is, if you committed immortal sin, does the Holy Spirit leave you immediately? Please turn to John chapter 5, verse 16. First John, chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. First John, chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Please read.
If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death.
So over here, the Bible is very clear, talk about two types of sins. One sin leading to death. We say that this type of sin is called mortal sin. The sin does not lead to death. We call it immortal sin. In our daily life, we committed a lot of immortal sins, like we are angry to our parents, or we have evil thoughts. Sometimes we say bad word. We post improper messages in the Facebook or other place. So if you committed immortal sin, will Holy Spirit leave you immediately? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. Please read.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption.
Even though you think that we may commit immortal sin, but we shall not grieve the Holy Spirit. If we grieve the Holy Spirit all the time, till the point that the Holy Spirit cannot bear with us, like sometimes people continue cursing. Holy Spirit cannot bear with us. Or we watch pornography over and over and over again. We do not listen to the voice of Holy Spirit. We quench the movement of Holy Spirit till a point that Holy Spirit cannot take it, he might leave us. I think I share with you, when I was a little kid, I received Holy Spirit. But when I grew up, there was a period of time I became a bad boy. So I cursed all the time. I fight with people all the time. I took knife to chase after other people sometimes. And later on, the Holy Spirit left me. Until when I was in sixth grade, I come back to the church, and the Holy Spirit, I start to receive the Holy Spirit again. So, if you greet the Holy Spirit, it is possible the Holy Spirit might leave you. But the leaving process is because God loves us very much, right? He do not like to leave us, so He will grieve you. He will, you know, urge you to repent. But if you fail to, He might leave you. Gradually. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 10. Now, let's you study the book of Ezekiel. Maybe you already learned, how the glory of God left the temple. The glory of God left the temple gradually. Chapter 10, verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4.
Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and passed over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud.
Okay. The glory of God came out of ascending from the top of cherubim and stopped on the doorpost, right? He's still there, but he already lived up, right? Please read verse 18, chapter 10, verse 18.
Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim.
Then he stepped out, right, from the threshold of the temple, from the doorpost of the temple. Now, it is step by step. Please read Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 23.
And the glory of the Lord went up up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side.
So
of
even
the
if you try to leave or still step on the mountain for, in a distance, looking at the city, huh? So you can see the gradual processes. So if we do not repent with immortal sin, gradually the glory of God may leave you, huh? The Holy Spirit of God may leave you. So, even like if you do not commit mortal sin, we still need to repent, right? A lot of time, God give us grace period for us to repent. Like Adam sinned, and God call him, looking for him, calling him, Adam, Adam, what did you do? This is a grace period for Adam to sin, to repent. Adam take the things that he are not supposed to take, dirty things that he was not supposed to take. And God used a way to make him repent, like drawing lots. It takes a long time to draw the lots to identify him. But on the processes, he failed to repent his sin. Even like in, if we read Book of Revelation, people like Jezebel. Jezebel was a very evil person. Even like her, God gave her opportunity to repent. But Jezebel failed. So really, over here, we shall try our best to repent to God, no matter it is mortal or immortal sin, especially if it's immortal sin. Any question concerning this? Okay. Next question. I have a friend in church who has committed adultery, yet they still have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Does this mean that God forgive them and still dwell within them? I don't know if you understand the definition of adultery. Fornication is different from adultery. Fornication is before you got married, you went into someone. Even though you are not married, in the eyes of God, it's a married couple. Therefore, we study the fourth son of Jacob, Judah. He went into a woman, woman of Canaanites, and then he married him. So, went into is equal to married to. And this is called fornication before marriage. In this case, it is a great sin in the eyes of God. The church will encourage you to marry that person as soon as possible. Now, if you did not marry this person, or you in the future you marry this person, or even if you do not marry this person, you have already spouse intimacy, and then you have another person to have the same deeds, then this is called adultery. Adultery is a mortal sin. When a person commit mortal sin, Holy Spirit will leave that person. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Chapter 8, the law of Spirit of life, right? That's good enough. Say it again, the law of Spirit?
For the law of the Spirit of life.
The law of Spirit of life? Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. 是生命圣灵的律, huh? So the Holy Spirit has a power to give life, huh? The law of Spirit of life. The Spirit can give life. It is the Spirit of life. If the person is dead, no life, the Holy Spirit will leave that person. Huh? Now, you may say that, so if a person commit mortal sin, there are two ways, like I said. Number one is you have second party. Another case is that, another case is mortal sin is also, is you went into a adulterous woman. This is also considered a mortal sin. Turn to Matthew. chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 9.
And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except sexual immorality, marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.
Whoever marry a divorced woman commit adultery. Huh? That divorced woman, because her husband did not commit adultery, she divorced the husband. And but in reality, they are also one in the eyes of God, because they were one. And then you went into this kind of woman, you commit adultery. So let's say, even though it's a fornication with a lady, a girl, right? But this girl is a, we call it public box, public bus. Like, many one can sit on this kind of car, right? So she's a very dirty woman, and you also sit on her. This is also a mortal sin. Jesus said he committed adultery. So a person committed adultery, like I say, like we study Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Spirit is the Spirit who gives life, and he had no life. Therefore, Spirit will live that person. Now, sometimes you can see, how come this person married two persons already, he still can speak in tongue? There are two possibilities. Number one, he knows that he faked it. He knew that he faked it. After a person have the experience speaking in tongue, he might know how to speak in tongue. And even though he knew that, he know that the Holy Spirit already left him, he continued affected. Someone really had this kind of experiences. Before he died, lose the last breath, he confessed to a worker, I know when I committed mortal sin, God left me already. I continue to go to church, try to pretend that I have the Holy Spirit. So he know, he continue pretending. Second type is that Holy Spirit is that with him already, but he did not know. It's a habitual tongue, yet he did not know. He does not know. Like Samson. God already left Samson. He committed sin over and over again. God already left Samson. But Samson did not know. He thought he can, just like his usual routine, you know, get out of the bondage. But then he realized that he was not able to. Therefore, he got bonded, and his eyes got gouged out. He had a miserable life. So, speaking in tongue could be habitual, and speaking in tongue could be faking. So, if a person commit mortal sin, God will leave that person. This is my understanding about the Bible. But in daily life, I also see something I don't understand. It is up to God and that person. The things I don't understand is that I saw people commit mortal sin and they did not come to church for a long, long time. But in a society, they have no way to turn to. They realize that without God, their life is even much worse. So they return back to the church and they pray and they pray and they cry and cry and cry. At the beginning, they cannot speak in tongue. It's very obvious, right? But after years of fasting, I saw this guy, right? Every year, he will come back in a setting like NYTS or, you know, and this guy will, like, fasting days and nights. And then, for some reason, he started to speak in tongue. I don't know what is this. Maybe God already accepted him. I don't know. Because when God keep Holy Spirit to Cornelius, Peter said, who can forbid us to baptize him, because he already received Holy Spirit. So maybe God accept him. I don't know. According to the Bible, I know if a person commit mortal sin, Holy Spirit will leave that person. But maybe God is too amazing, too loving to a point that I don't understand. But I will leave this kind of business between him and God. A person who commits mortal sin and later on, maybe through great, great, great mercy and his personal repentance, God may accept him. I don't know. But if it's so, he shall not come back and have a very proud attitude. Yeah, God accept me. See, commit mortal sin is nothing. No, this is really, really very wrong. So, brethren, we shall not commit mortal sin. This, you shall not take chance at all. Let's turn to Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 6, verse 4 to 7.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Verse 6, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify against for themselves the Son of God, put him to an open shame. Verse 7, for the earth was drink in the rain that often comes upon it, and it bears herbs useful for those by whom it's cultivated, receive blessing from God.
Okay, so the Bible here says very clearly, if a person commits sin, he had tested the heavenly test, and then he went back to do wrong thing. It is like a field, no more rain, and will grow thistle and thorn, and will be deserted by God. So, do not commit mortal sin, especially on purpose, right? Chapter 10, Hebrew chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrew.
For
chapter 10, verse 26.
For we sin willingly after we have received the knowledge of the truth. There no longer remains the sacrifice for sins.
If you sin on purpose, no more redemption. The Bible is very clearly on purpose, right? You know it is wrong. You do it with your will. Really, I really doubt God will accept you anymore. You know, brethren, in your daily life, you shall really change your lifestyle. You shall make strong determination to transform right now. You know, I saw some cases, right? After they go across the line, it is so lost, so lost. So empty. Can you imagine that exchange for 5 minutes excitement for eternal destruction? So ignorant. Sorry for me to use this word. So, I shouldn't use that word. Stupid. Right. So when you came here, you should really try to think of what you can do to preserve your life. Ask God to preserve your life. Me too. Sometimes I'm very scared, right? I don't care if I can be a preacher or not. I don't need to be a preacher. But I really care if I can go into heaven and kingdom. You know? Because it is so important to everybody. So in your daily life, you should try to make determination. Really resolve to take a turn, take a different route. You know that this fire over there, don't continue going to it. You know, pornography is very, very dangerous. If you watch over and over again, later on, your heart will lead to that direction all the time. Later on, as if you are possessed, your heart is possessed by that kind of stuff. You go one step and another step and another step. Later on, there is no way to return. So you should control how you use your computer. Very important. You should really control the time and place you use your computer. Control your chatting room. Control what kind of message you post. Very important, because it always like very difficult to stop when you go through certain stage, unless Somebody pray for you very hard. So be very careful. Next question. How do you know if your sins are forgiven when you have never felt anything special in your prayer at all? Mortal sin, your sin will not be forgiven. Unless, like I said, it's God's business. I don't know what to say according to my understanding. That's why mortal sin, you are a dead person already. In mortal sin, you shall face that. You shall face that God will forgive you. So this is called justified by faith. Turn to 1 John. Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we confess our sin, God is faithful and righteousness. He'll forgive and cleanse. Forgive is pardon you, is do not mind anymore. Cleansing is even erase the mark, no more. You are clean in front of my eyes. Forgive and cleanse is two different verbs, two different actions God will do for you. Yeah. So you confess your sin, truly confess, truly repent, truly determine that you do not do the same thing over and over again. Then you can find grace of God. You shall have faith that God will forgive you. This is called justify. You are cleansed again. You are justified again. But, then you might say, then I can commit immortal sin over and over again. The Bible says, by no means. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Verse 2.
Surely not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it?
Shall we continue living in sin so grace can be more? Like, yes, every time I commit immortal sin, right? God will forgive my sin. The more I commit immortal sin, the more grace I have. And Paul was saying that. Then shall we continue to remain in sin so the grace can be abundant? Verse 2, by no means. Continue reading, by no means. Did you finish reading it? Sorry. Verse 2 again.
Surely not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it?
You already die in sin. How can we continue to live in it? So if you sing the hymn tell you, right? Little drops will become a river. Little sands will become, a beach. Right? Little rock accumulate, become a mountain. A little sin, if you do not deal with it, do not truly come back later on, you never repent, it will become a great trouble for you to handle. So do not play with fire. Even little sin is also sin. You shall confess and repent to God. The Bible says you shall catch up the little foxes. A little sin is like little foxes. But still, they will eat up your virtue, your fruit of Holy Spirit. So be very careful. Then why do you have no feeling after you repent? You have no feeling. When you say feeling, right, it is not necessarily like what Brother Daniel Young testified. Now, he was, thinking about if his Holy Spirit is real or not, right? How come God is so far away? And God have mercy on him. There's a hand, right? Like go into a heart, like squeeze his heart as if the juice of heart is coming out, right? You hear the testimony. Something like that, right? So he portrayed it on the ground. Do not know it is what, joy or grief, right? Something like that. That is a very special grace of God. But even though you need to have, or you don't need necessarily to have this kind of experience, right? The Bible says, Jesus said, in me you shall have peace. So after you repent and repent and repent, you never feel peace. There's a problem. How can you like pray and pray and pray and you never feel joy and peace? not only tell me that you are still very far away from God, your prayer is still cannot reach God for some reason. Either you do not repent enough, or like, you know, or your prayer is not earnest enough, huh? Meaning that you are not very close to God. If you are very close to God, at least you shall feel peace. For Jesus said, in me, you shall have peace, right? You don't have peace. I don't know what kind of repentance is that. What kind of prayer is that, no? Because you are very far away. You are not very close. Meaning that your prayer could be a formality. You do not truly use your heart to pray. When Peter departed from his missionary, go out fishing, Jesus was on the shore. And he did not know Jesus is over there. When he was very close to Jesus, he had feeling. You know, it is Jesus. He jumped into the ocean. Too shameful. When Isaiah continued to serve, did not know he had evil lips. He continued to serve, no feeling, until like the Lord showed up to him. So when a person is very close to God, how can it be no feeling? No feeling because, maybe not because you are not forgiven, because you are not striving hard to get close to her. And maybe because you don't have faith that God already forgive you. The Bible says, without faith, it is a sin. Without faith, you cannot please God. So, if over here you pray for how many days already? You still do not feel peaceful. Something wrong with your prayer. You shall continue to strive harder. I want to finish this question before we pray, Will God still forgive me if I sincerely repented and know my sins are bad but do not feel guilty? Do you know what he's trying to say? How do you know my sins are forgiven when will God still forgive me if I sincerely repented and know my sins? He sincerely repented and know his sins, right? But he don't feel guilty. It's like I punch you, right? On purpose, right? I know it's bad, right? And I say sorry, right? Sorry. But I don't feel guilty. When you don't feel guilty, that means that you truly do not know that is a bad thing to you. Because you don't feel guilty. That means that, you know, your deeds, right? Your conscience already numb. Because you do not feel guilty, because your conscience is already numb, right? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 2.
First Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron.
Yeah, their conscience was seared. Sealed? You said sealed? Like hot iron, right? When God created us, we have very clear conscience, right? When He speaks something wrong, we feel very guilty. You see something wrong at the beginning, you feel so guilty, but you see it over and over again. Like you don't feel it's wrong anymore, right? Then you say sorry, but you don't feel guilty, so next time you'll continue doing it. If you continue doing it, you don't feel remorse. This is not true repentance. This is not true in say sorry. Repent is really a U-turn. It's really remorse, contrite, and the other time you determine you are not going to do it anymore, right? You truly say sorry, like you try to repent, right? But you never return your deeds. The Lord said, this kind of fasting is an abomination in my eyes. So this kind of fasting, God will never listen. Turn to Isaiah 58. When you say your conscience, you don't feel guilty, means conscience is numb, and conscience is numb, you don't think it's wrong, and then you continue doing this, and you say sorry, it's not going to work, 58, Isaiah 58, verse 6.
Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bond of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke?
Verse 7.
Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide your flesh from your own flesh.
Verse 8.
Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard.
9.
Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking of wickedness.
Okay. So, verse 3, you talk about we fasting, why are you not seeing? We afflict our hearts, why do you not mind? Huh? But, you know, in the day of fasting, you still do the wrong thing. Huh? Then God is not going to listen. Huh? So, brother, truly, true repentance is that you do not do the wrong thing. You feel guilty and do not do the wrong thing anymore. Huh? So we pray that you have, you shall pray that, you shall ask God give you, you shall pray that God give you a new heart. So you have a contrite heart. You feel something in your heart. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10.
Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Created a clean heart. May God give us a clean heart again so we can feel. Huh? Please read verse 17.
The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.
The sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit, is a broken and contrite heart. So may the Lord give us a broken and contrite heart. Huh? Let's come to the front and pray.